Janet Williams. She's a senior program manager at the American Medical Association. She has worked at the American Medical Association for 10 years, focusing on community clinical linkages to address lifestyle issues.
Thank you. There is nothing like being the last presenter on the last session of the last day of APHA. So I'm just thrilled to have this position. And it's nice to see actually the room still full. So now I've made you all guilty so nobody can walk out. As it says here, I have nothing relevant to disclose. So I sort of want to just start quickly because the Physicians as Community Health Advocacy is a training and to get physicians more involved in community-based leadership. But I sort of want to throw out there, I actually thought we'd have a smaller group, so I was going to do it with everybody, but now I can't. Real quick, just what is an example of sort of your first experience with advocacy? What was the issue, and maybe what was the method you were involved with? I'm sure you did a variety of things from media to letters to the editor, or that is media, to grassroots organizing. But just really quick, just in the room, just interested in what was your first advocacy experience and what was the method you used? All right, Diana, you have to start. Right, so Diana used media on a tobacco issue. Nishi, what was your first advocacy experience and what was the method? Okay. Anybody else? Any of the doctors in the room? Yeah.
So I work at Georgetown Medicine. I started around weight.
Well, you can see we had some were direct media letters, other was social media, here was convening. So there's a different variety of methods. Now, my first experience in advocacy was I wanted a Thumbelina doll for Hanukkah. And the method I used was whining. So I think there's a variety of ways and things that we can do to get our message across. And so this was sort of the POTCH is designed around this. It's interactive. It's really addressing physicians where they're at already and recognizing that they might be involved in advocacy or community leadership and not even know it at this point. So sort of what led to the POTCH program and how did the AMA lead up to this? Well, this was an outcry of physicians contacted the AMA after 9/11, as you might have imagined, and said that they wanted to get involved in helping the sick and the suffering anywhere in any way they could. So our ethics unit developed and adopted this declaration in December of 2011. So it really lays out the physician's role and responsibility and sort of their commitment to humanity. And as I was working on this, I found this study that was in the Boston Globe, or this article I came across. So physicians really embrace advocacy. You know, we sometimes hear many of the barriers, or they're really just working on clinical issues. But they really do want to get involved. And so I came across this article from the Boston Globe in 2006 that was written by a physician. And he was talking about shift from physicians away from a traditional role of patient care and embracing an advocacy role. And apparently Boston University, for the last 10 years, has had an advocacy program for medical students, allied health professionals, as well as the faculty. So they're really committed to this. But in this article, he cites a November of 2006 JAMA article. And here I am with the American Medical Association. I didn't even know till last night that this survey existed. And it was on the public roles of U.S. physicians, community participation, political involvement, and collective advocacy. And it was determined the importance of the physicians to these public roles. And so interesting, it was a male survey conducted between 2003 and 2004 of 1,662 U.S. Physicians. And as you can see here, they had a response rate of 57%, which is pretty good. 90% of the respondents thought that it was important for community participation, political involvement, and collective advocacy, that this was important for physicians, 90%. But the majority of them rated as very important community participation and collective advocacy. Now, what's interesting is that you look at that they thought nutrition, immunization, and substance abuse and road safety were the very important issues, and this was compared to access to care, unemployment, or literacy, that they didn't rate access to care as high as these issues. Now, this was 2003 to 2004. I think that would be different if we surveyed today. So I think when I get back to the office, I think we want to redo this survey. And the authors defined physicians' public roles to be advocacy for participation in improving the aspects of communities that affect the health of individuals. So this was really right up there. So it's nice to know that after the fact that the AMA and I was on the right track. So sort of the background with PACHA is the AMA actually developed a healthy lifestyles toolkit. And that kit was to assist physicians with counseling on alcohol, tobacco, physical activity, and nutrition. And it had all the evidence-based stuff from action plans to work collaboratively with their patients. But we realized that really to improve in this area of chronic disease, that we needed to get outside of the clinical setting and that required an advocacy approach. And so we received funding from Pfizer and Astra to develop the module. The nice thing about this educational funding, they didn't tell us what issues we had to work on. They actually never even looked at my module, and they've never attended one of the trainings. So they just wrote us a check, said you do good work, and just keep us in the loop. But once we cashed the check, I never heard from them again, which I guess is a good sign of a good partner. Well, it's a good sign of a corporate partner who gets out of the way and lets people do the work. So on physician advocates, leadership goes beyond policy, that it really is a key component in improving health outcomes and addressing social determinants of health. So the most effective tools for addressing health disparities is really going to take place outside of the exam room, that we really need to look at the whole physician and his whole interaction with his patients. And I think this isn't a surprise to anybody. You know, I mean, why physicians? And why do we really want to help them build up their advocacy and community organizing skills? Well, they're credible. They're seen as major leaders in the community. They have personal stories. So if you send them out to talk to regulatory leaders or legislative leaders, they have a personal story to tell based on what they see with their patients. They see, they know, they hear, more importantly, they care. And they're involved in the delivery of health. So this is more importantly a health issue, and we really wanted to make sure that connection was there. So in developing PACHA, it has a lot of components. We originally developed it thinking that we were just going to do direct training. So we would bring physicians together and give them the skills they needed to go out and do this work. But when you start thinking about limited resources, certainly limited resources. Our grant was quite small, and I'm just one person. What's a better spread? And it really is the train-the-trainer model, which has certainly been around for years, and that seemed to be the appropriate way to start with PACHA. So it is a train-the-trainer module that talks about facilitation, has a slide deck, has a script. But we wanted, in our PACHA training, we focused on addressing the barriers to physician engagement, as well as providing the strategies. The train-the-trainer module was designed to equip trainers with a turnkey program that they could do in 1 or 2 hours. So if they wanted to do a grand rounds back in their community, they could do that. We really wanted to make it as adaptable as possible and flexible for our trainers. And the direct training certainly really relied a lot on interactive exercises. And also a part of this really wanted the completion of an action plan. So in the direct training and what we worked with our trainees on was the completion of a key deliverable, which is an action plan. It's, you know, we see it in clinical practice. It was a contract, right? When a physician is working with a patient on a lifestyle issue, they do an action plan. They want a commitment, and it gives some kind of follow-up. And this action plan is a deliverable that engages audiences in a measurable activity. So we use this the similar action plan in collaboration. The AMA is part of a group called the 5 A's, which is the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American College of Physicians, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And we have a tobacco collaborative. That's why we're called the 5 A's. And we've done 2 trainings, and this community action plan is a major tool in that training that we do on our tobacco work as well. So the training outline for the direct training is just very basic. It goes through a lot of these steps, but in key is what happens is when they really talk about what is happening in their home, working in small groups because collaboratively, and this is when partnership works, you can key off of other people's learnings and experiences and get a better idea of how to create your own action plan. And as we said, this outline is very basic and adaptable. We wanted to put it in the hands of our trainers. So we also wanted to, you know, physicians really needed to know they have the support of the AMA. Certainly not not only in the tools that we have, but and to arm our trainers when they go out to recruit their colleagues to say, you have the AMA behind you when it's looking at these lifestyle policies. We have hundreds of policies on physical activity, nutrition, in schools, in the community, tobacco, alcohol use. This was just an example of some of the more relevant ones. Right now, the AMA has a very narrow strategic focus, and right now we're actually working on blood pressure control as well as pre-diabetes. So we're in the middle of doing recruitment in 3 pilot areas to the YMCA DPP. So I know the criteria on the YMCA DPP in my sleep. But these are, so with this, I was just highlighting some of those community-based policies that are going to really have an effect when the physician sees the patient, and they're more supportive of chronic disease. You can also visit the AMA website yourself and go to our policy finder. That is open to anybody. Put in search terms, and you might find policies that are more relevant in the work that you're doing, if you want to get your colleagues involved. So we did our first Train the Trainer in November of 2012. We brought 25 physicians to Chicago, and I think we had a really good geographic distribution. We had a really diverse group. We had a brain surgeon, so it wasn't just primary care docs that were there, and she had a very interesting perspective in the work that she was doing in Colorado. So and the AMA, there was no honorarium, so that they came on a Thursday, and they left on Friday, and we just paid for their travel and provided meals, but we did not give any honorarium, and these were practicing physicians. That was sort of one of the requirements that we wanted to really get physicians that were still actively seeing patients, and so this was, they really just wanted to get involved in this issue. If you're in any of these states and want to contact our trainers, just email me and I can give you that information. We are doing another training on December 5th and 6th in Chicago for our Train the Trainer. If you're a physician and you would like to attend that training, our application is online, or just give me your card and I'll send it to you. Our deadline in that is next week, and I'm making quick decision on that as well. So what are the lessons learned that from putting this together and really in a space that others had been in? I mean, the American Family Physicians has a very robust program. AAP has a very robust program. AMA was not the first one to think that physicians needed to be trained or needed assistance and wanted to take an interest in that. So what we learned was they told us, our trainees, is that they thought that we needed to identify some successes, that we needed some low-hanging fruit to help get the conversation going as they go out and train others. They wanted us to provide more background on social determinants of health. We certainly heard a lot about that at this meeting, and they felt that some solutions are out of the physician's control. So they wanted a little more assistance about how to deal with that. What's interesting, the BU program has a clinical link with a legal group. And so physicians know that when there's some legal obstacles in terms of housing or transportation, that they can link their patients directly with a legal source. And I think that's what our people were getting at. They wanted to know an opportunity to engage medical students and retired physicians in getting them involved in this, looking at other partners, how they bring that in and do some mobilization. They felt we needed to put that into the training. How to engage effectively and understand the audience expectation and get to the action portion quicker. So we're going to modify our direct training to address some of that. And they also wanted more information on how to build bridges and do more environmental policy. So a key area of this, too, one thing that I learned in looking at this is this idea of a mentoring plan and also follow-up. We did an evaluation, but we didn't have a follow-up form. So every person who came to the training committed to doing two trainings in the next 6 months after the training. Anecdotally, I know that half of them have done it. I know. How could I not do any follow-up, have a formal follow-up mechanism? I'm not quite sure. I would say that I just was so overwhelmed with how dedicated they were that I figured, you know, I'll build it, they'll come, they'll call, we'll chat. So we do need to do a more formal follow-up with them to really get some really important performance measures. And also, I think we are looking at the leadership is more than being a community-based advocate, but also being a mentor. And we want to build into our train-the-trainer program, how can they build a way to be a mentor to their colleagues about advocacy, as well as how they're going to get them to do some community-based leadership as well. So in looking at what you can might take away with from this, if you want to work physicians on advocacy or want to co-sponsor one of our trainings, it's really physicians are busy, but they want to be engaged. I think that's really evident. So you want to be specific about the nature of the involvement, you know, what you're really asking them to do. Go beyond testimony or just letter to the editors, but ask what they're seeing in their practice. So bring it down to the personal level. They want to talk about what they're doing and what they're seeing in their patients, and that might tie in with the work you're doing. And really think about your organization and your regulatory activities. Advocacy is not only about legislators and things that need to be passed in a state or local legislature. There's regulatory issues, the hospital-based policy, let's get the vending machines out of hospitals, or let's get healthier vending machine policies, and there is a great toolkit on that. So look at sort of what is your own organization's regulatory activities and how can you engage physicians in that. Also make a connection with their clinical practice. What mobilizing activities can happen in the waiting room? This is an area that I'm really interested in looking at. We've done a little bit of that on tobacco when we did smoke-free, but I think it really lends itself to looking at what they're advocating with their patients on an individual level, but how can they also advocate with their patients in the exam or the waiting room environment. If you're going to approach physicians on an advocacy, be a part of the healthcare team. If you have a program like the Why, show that intervention, so it's back to that one quote that, you know, why am I going to screen for something if there's not an intervention in the community? And so I think it's really important if you've got that to really talk to your physician community about that and be a part of their team. The AMA's guiding principle, I think, is very evident as to why we took on this work, why we're going to continue this work, especially as we work on chronic disease management and specifically cardiovascular disease and diabetes. So thank you very much.
We have time for questions. Any questions?
It's the beauty of being the last speaker.
I can say that I really appreciated your point about the advocacy and how it's more than just legislative, because in my mind, because that's not my area of expertise, that's all I think advocacy is, and so just hearing that there's other avenues that are very interesting.
And in sometimes that's the low-hanging fruit, and that's sort of the way for somebody to get their feet wet. You know, we start with that policy. I mean, you know, we've all done personal policy, right? How many don't allow smoking in their home or their car? I don't see all the hands. Thank you. So really it does start with a policy, and so you can really, that's an inroad for many people.
I had a particular reason. I attended your talk so many times. It's great. Definitely this kind of really efficient environment as advocacy leadership, that's great.
of the nature of a community is that it's a holistic, you know, multidimensional. I'm wondering, really, you know, your training program content, though, do you really cover pretty much, really, holistic, you know, kind of content?
Well, we did, in our first...
environmental, social, you know, especially including social determinants.
Right, we didn't have a lot of social determinants of health in our first Train the Trainer, but we did talk a lot about the county health rankings. And we thought, Dr. Remington was our facilitator, and he's at the University of Wisconsin. And so we thought that was a good inroad because it gave people an idea, you know, people in Texas, they received what their county health ranking was. And it gave them a really good sense of what the health environment was looking like. So, and we do talk a lot about mobilizing and being a part of existing coalitions. So in our Train the Trainer, we're saying when you go out and train others, recognize there's a lot of people in this space. And so first and foremost, how can a physician who may not already be tied in, we have a lot of physicians tied in with tobacco, but not as much when we really look at some of the physical activity and the built environment issues and nutrition. So we do talk a lot about finding who's in that space already and really lending it that way because communities are so diverse.
You talked about the program at BU, but have there been any other major pushes to integrate more advocacy training into medical school?
You know, there are some medical schools it's embedded, like Loma Linda, you know, their medical school curriculum. Changing medical school curriculum is virtually very impossible. It's difficult. And so there is, you know, BU has done a lot of studies on their program. So I think in terms of the aspect that we're working on now in my population health group, we haven't been looking at the curriculum and really reaching the working physician. Although I've done a lot of work with medical students, just ad hoc. And so I think that we certainly can do our own medical student training, but where it comes in with the curriculum, that's sort of a long step down the road and people with a higher pay grade.
Yeah, I'm going to needle you a little bit at the School of Nursing chat, but since we are really moving to interprofessional teams, patient-centered medical homes, and people working together, and so wouldn't perhaps having other disciplines for the training begin that process so that people would be working together in advocacy?
Of course. I mean, the care team, right, is sort of the buzzword. Now, when we first developed this, you know, Astra and Pfizer gave it to the AMA because of our role with physicians. But, you know, I've had the grant for about 3 years. So I definitely think, especially as we're moving towards chronic disease gaps, it is a care team. And so I think that I might work with Loyola and do a joint training, perhaps.
That's all for the session. Any other questions? We have our resources here, so have a great afternoon.